Before we begin, I was in my 30s early. My voice was as good as it has been in my life. I'd worked on a song. I had it down. It was Sandy Patty's Make His Praise Glorious for you old folks to remember. The last note was the top of what I could pull off, but I was ready. I came to camp and I stood and I started to sing and I got through the first verse and the chorus and it was glorious and the second verse disappeared from my head. I'm really sorry. I said, we'll start this all over again. I'm sorry about that. So we went through, I sang the first verse, I sang the second, the chorus, it was glorious. The second verse left my head again. So I had to go back to the back, get the little set of words, and bring them up, tiny little words. I wouldn't have been able to read them now, but back then I could. And I sang the song, holding the words, all the way through, and it was not glorious. It's okay, Aunt Joan. It's okay. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love, how deep it is that you would care about each one of us. In this building, in this world, in our individual lives, we know, Lord, that you have a message for us in many ways. And tonight, I just ask that the message that you've laid on my heart would carry off and over to those who need it. Bless our time together. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Brother Jim Flannery got a hold of me via our favorite communication device now, Messenger on Facebook. And, you know, Jim, in all of our talk, there was never the actual theme mentioned. And I never thought, you said that the theme was based on Jeremiah 6:16. And it is, if I understand I brought it up here, I'd get it down. Following the Father's footsteps. But anyway, so I got a message from Jeremiah 6:16. Now, how much it fits with that or not is not the point. But I was worried, like, well, oh, man, what do you say that in a camp meeting, you know, that hasn't been said in the previous messages? But maybe that's not a problem tonight. But I thank you, Brother Jim and others, for inviting me here. It's... kind of sad what it takes to get somebody to a camp that by the time I was 23 or so, I had been to probably 18 times. And now I'm 52, and for 29 or 30 years, I haven't been here once. Strange, it's just how life has worked out. And not against you all at all, by the way. But it's really good to be here. I had a nice meeting back that last time I was here with a young lady that was there that night, and we kind of started dating after that, and now we got 29 years in the books and going, so it's nice to have. Yes, Joy, your name is now trumpeted to the winds here in this camp, and it has been fantastic to not only see all the people who I thought I might see here. And Vera, you're in here now, so okay, it's all starting to get complete. No, all the people that I thought I might see, and I'm sure there's a few that I've missed, but others I never even thought of that are here, and it's just wonderful for someone who is from the old days as a young person to see so many of you here, some of you that were kind of old back then and still around. I don't know, and. And there's a few. I don't. Any of you guys been to Siskiyou as a seeker back when? Besides Paige, yeah, we know. I know Paige. No, yes. There's some Siskiyou kids. So it's just wonderful to see all of you, and I'm really feel honored, very honored, to be able to speak to you tonight. So Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord: Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." Where is the good way? and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I read that, and I saw the phrase, ask for the old paths. And that spoke to me. This is a message about going back to the future. That's an old movie. You know, this is 30 years now since that movie came out, and it's the time when the movie talked about the future. That's how far we've come in my little lifetime. But what the past began as is what the future needs to be. It says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, obviously, this theme verse in Jeremiah was intended primarily, of course, for the children of Israel at the time, but for us today, what is its relevance? I think we need to take a look at some of the old paths and think about how we can walk in those good ways. Three sets of paths and a couple of examples from each one. We'll start first with the old paths in our life. What are the old paths in your life? If you're 13, if you're 82, what is the old paths in your life? Man, I can only speak for myself, of course. My initial salvation experience comes back to when I was very young, and my parents had started noticing that I would sit and listen to sermons, and I would cry. And I hadn't been crying up until that time, but I was being touched by the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how to deal with that. And so my dad, my Uncle Phil, took me aside in the house that they'd actually grown up in and explained to me why I was crying. And I gave my heart to the Lord. And I remember the tears that followed as well. Not just the tears until I found the old path, but the tears that have come since then. And there's been many times that have been revival moments in my life where I have thought back and been drawn back to the old path of God touching my life. And those times have always brought tears. Tears of repentance occasionally. Tears of sadness that I maybe have missed out on what could have been for me spiritually. And tears of joy and exhilaration at realizing that God so wonderfully calls us back to the old path of the first love that he brought into us. And I've had some special times. I went to a worship conference in California one time with 2,700 worship leaders praising the Lord, and the whole 3 days was incredible in worship. But I had a particular chunk of time when I sat up in the corner balcony and just wept for no reason, just wept. And I felt very impassioned and strengthened and encouraged after that. And I found out later, of course, or I have found out through the years, that being a Sanford, being an Odegaard, means you cry anyway. So, but I think it's the way God speaks with me. And I know that when he touches my heart, as he did in some of these songs we sang tonight, tears flow, and they're tears of joy as I remember the old path brought to me in my life. I remember my grandpa Sanford, David, his story of when he was 5 years old and getting a new heart as he went around the Cape in a boat, Cape Horn or wherever it was. And it's a passionate story, and he always told it with passion. And I remember my Grandpa Henry's story of salvation from alcoholism and wild, crazy living. There's a couple of you in this room that knew a little bit about them back in those days, right? Aunt Joan, you were there. And some sink nights as well, too. Anyway, and I remember the passion and the thrill that both those men, with their different stories from what the past they came from and how God had brought them to his path. And that brings me back occasionally to that path too. I remember those good things that are not even just from my experience, but from my family's experience. I need to be paying attention to the story of the old path in my life. And for each of you that have experienced God's saving grace in your life, remember the day that he got a hold of your life and cherish that. If you don't have that old path, it can be a new path right here tonight. And then the second thing that just happened to spring to mind as I thought about the old paths in my life is when I was young in Meridian camp meeting. And I don't know how many of you grew up as a real young child attending this camp meeting, especially over there. I think I got the right direction there. But coming to Meridian camp meeting was, I mean, that was everything for us. We lived in the boonies in Washington, and we had a small little church. We had a couple other camps too. I'm not downplaying them, but to come to Meridian camp meeting was incredibly wonderful for the Sanford family. Part of the reason for that is that somehow the gigantic Lavelt and Bernice Palmer family had somehow incorporated us into their DNA or something a little bit. And we always felt extremely close to those folks. And, of course, Lonnie and Vera's family and the Sink Knights and some others. There's some very, very dear friends of my parents whose children became very dear friends to me to this day. And so we came to see our family. And the ones that we weren't family with in that way at all, there was just a huge community of seeing this vast amount of people that believed as we did. And some neat people and some special people, some people with amazing personalities and talents and gifts. And I heard sermons that I didn't get to hear even each week, even though I loved hearing my dad preach. But there were other preachers that could really share the word. And so the sense of family and community and a realization of the blessing of the body of Christ is an old path burnt into my mind from this camp meeting. And as I'm here today, of course, it's that old path is renewed and brought back to my mind. And I'm just incredibly thankful for the connections that I have to so many of you in certain ways. And our family has in connection to you. And Joy and I, through Siskiyou, to some of you as well. Thank you, Lord, for the good. And actually, through photography, I've even got a couple of old paths here now, wherever the couple of people are out there. Anyway, we need to renew the truth of the old path of family and community and the blessing of the body of Christ often in our lives. And when you feel out alone, in emotionally or literally, we are in a town with not a lot of same believing folks. We got Aunt Joan and us, and it's special to realize when you go places and meet people and see people, talk to them on Facebook or whatever, and realize the blessing of family and community, and that is an old path burnt into our lives for the good of our spiritual condition. We need to remember that and renew the truth. We are not alone. The second set of old paths are the old paths of the church. Now, that's the one that there's too many connotations of what that might mean to people, the old paths of the church. And I'm not, as much as I just said about what my old paths are in camp meeting and stuff, the old paths of the church are not the way it was when you were a kid. That's the feel good old paths. And I'm going to leave that alone, because we all talk all the good old days. And boy, I tell you, if the good old days are just what we remember, and it's not today is the good old day, we're going to have a problem. We're going to be living in a time and a place, and we're not going to be connecting. But there is the old path when it comes to the church, and that church, the body of Christ. That old path goes back a couple thousand years to the time of Christ and what he began on this earth. Now, there was the old path that Jeremiah is referring to. It has to do with God working with his people in the Old Testament. And the old path I'm referring to tonight is for the church is the New Testament old path. There's some fundamental themes of how God relates to us and we are to relate to each other that Jesus brought us. I'm just going to touch a couple. You could preach many sermons on the old paths that the church needs to be walking in, but I'll just touch on a couple. First, Jesus, in his direction to his disciples, he talked about how the path was from the heart and to a level that only God can help you achieve. Started this off in Matthew 5, 6, 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll give you an example that brings this point. 5:27 and 28 says, "You have heard it said of them at old time, you should not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart." Jesus brought a meaning to the law that was actually brought it out to a place we couldn't even keep it without him. We get hung up a lot on following the very difficult letter of the law, trying to interpret exactly what we can and cannot do, worried about the boundaries of what is permissible and what's not. Not so that we can stay away from those boundaries, but so we can often get really close to them. On both sides of this, this is not just a morality statement. It's the whole body of what the law entails and right behavior and right attitude and action. And Jesus said it's a heart issue. And I alone soften the heart. I alone create a situation where you can live in a way that is pleasing to the Father. And I want to help you do that. And I send my Holy Spirit in the future to do that very thing and to help us to follow the heart of God in our heart. He said he'd write his law on our hearts and on our minds. Make it a part of us, because he knew that that was what was good for us. And the Jewish people had taken God's law that was meant to be good for them and turned it into things that were just bad for them. And Jesus said, no, there's a better thing. Follow me, lean on me, and I'll write my law on your heart and make it doable in the deepest sense. We also get caught up with life, and so we get far away from meditating, as it says in Psalm 1, meditating on his law day and night so that we can grow and prosper. The law becomes something that we just worry about when we get close to the edge or when someone does something wrong, instead of meditating on what God has for us day and night, morning and evening. A sense of devotionalism. It may not be a word, but I just thought that sounded. Devotionalism, when we devote ourselves to time and in prayer and in study of the Word. That's in particular one that is hard for me. It's very easy for me to get caught up in what's all going on in life, these crazy summers that we have, schedules and other things. And I'm not worried about whether I'm sinning or not, but I'm not meditating on what God wants for me today and how God wants me to live and who he is going to bring to me that I can bless or love in some way. Meditate on him. We are called to return to the old ways where God writes his law in our hearts. And when we are able to live his character, not just grind out the do's and the don'ts. And Jesus brought such a new depth of the concept of righteousness for his church, and that depth of righteousness is the old path we have to walk in to find rest for our souls. That's in this verse that Jeremiah said, that we want to, when we walk these old paths, we have rest for our souls. And the body who fights against God's approach, God's law, God's plan is not going to find rest for their soul. We can if we follow that old path. Another area, a key area that Jesus talked about that is a fundamental old path for us is shown in Matthew chapter 22, 35 to 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Everything that we do has to follow the path of loving God and loving each other. I think we heard some words to that effect last night that I really appreciated too. Because over time, our motivations on a personal level often, and certainly in our organized church groupings through time, have gotten away from the law, or the path, excuse me, of love, of awareness of others and putting their needs above our own. And we have changed what we have done into a motivation of self-preservation, manipulation of others, performance, how well we do not in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of each other, in our own phony standards we have, or power. So much of what should be love is all about how I can have power. Even in the guise of, if I was just in power, then I could exert love. And that's totally backwards. We need to love, and the love will bring amazing power, and the kind of power that we need to do the work of the Lord in our hearts, and then so we can help to do the work of the Lord in others' hearts as well. We need to always tread the path of loving God and loving each other. I don't know. You ever heard that before? Okay. I said it was an old path. I love a sermon that does not have to break new ground, because I'm good at that better than trying to do something creative that hasn't been done before. So this old path idea was kind of close to my heart in that sense. No, this is old stuff. Hopefully you're not getting a little tired. Did the wind die down? It's warming up here a little bit again. But nothing new. But let's just refresh ourselves tonight in the old paths. And then continuing another area of the old path of the church, we can look back at the early church itself after Christ's reascension and see where what old paths they showed. And again, there are probably several, and you could pick another one, but I have a couple tonight. First, he showed them the old path of community. And again, this was Jesus that sent them on this path. He said a new commandment. So it was new then. It's not new now. It's a new commandment he gave to them, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. There's that love thing again. If you have love one for another. How often we have to remind ourselves that we are to love one another in the church. And I'm talking about the church functioning, not just the body of Christ in a broad sense, but the church functioning. And each of us know in our lives and our hearts many times where the love of the brethren has not happened either from us or to us. And every time that happens, it's an unfortunate thing, and it sets back the cause of God's kingdom a little bit. You know, one step back in order to get before we can take one step forward. How did the early church do that? I want to read something that I think you camp meeting people. I'll just be funny. You camp meeting people. This is what you do, and I like that, and I think this is an old path that some have forgotten, and I think maybe some of us in the Church of God haven't parts of this. It says they can Acts 2:42. I'm beginning. They continued steadfastly in the gospel, apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods to pave the parking lot, and parted them to all men as every man or Aunt Joan has need of a trailer. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I think part of why he was adding to the church daily is because his body were loving each other. They were supporting each other. They were caring for each other. They were looking out to see what they needed to do for each other. And this is not, in our world today, this is not a statement about a societal model that we should have. It's not a statement about a political strategy that we need to take. We might need to, but that's not what I'm talking about. But rather, this is just a reflection of how a family and a community love one another. If you love one another, you will do what is best for each other. As soon as we stop, get off that old path and into the briars, we start to want to save ourselves, and we start to push our brother aside to get ourselves back on the path. We talked about the sword last night, right? Swinging the sword around to save yourself and injuring someone else. Excellent. Excellent, Brother Jeremy. Thank you. That was a great, great message to me. The early church was about community. And this body of believers, starting small, grew to immense proportions in historically and today of the gigantic, and I'm not talking about who all is saved and who's not. I'll leave that out there. But I'm talking about the fact that the body of Christ is not 12 disciples sitting in a room anymore. It's much more than that. And it didn't happen by force of arms or strength of character in terms of leading peoples with brilliance. It started with community and love and letting the Holy Spirit work through people. And then the rest of that came afterwards. There were brilliant people who led and who conquered, sometimes in love and sometimes not. But still, it started with community. The old path, the path best trod, is one of community and love for each other. Another thing that they were known for in the early church, and we are called to in certain ways today, which again is another set of meetings, was to be, call it kind of countercultural, not of the world, in the world, but not of it. Just one little thing to show that. In Acts 16, you know the story, Paul and Silas preaching, and this girl harassed them for days with an evil spirit. And Paul cast the evil spirit out of her. They were unjustly accused of what they had been doing or saying even, and they were thrown into jail. And in Acts 16:25, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." These men had been beaten. They didn't, as much as there are some problems with law enforcement in cases sometimes today, it was bad news back then to fall on the hands of the law. And they were beaten and they were treated poorly and they were kept in a very bad place, I'm sure. And yet at midnight, maybe because they were awake with the pain of their wounds, but at midnight they sang and they praised God. And of course, they were freed by a great earthquake, and God reached out to get them out of there. And even then, they didn't take the opportunity to escape. They took the opportunity to evangelize and to bring the message of the gospel to others. The old path is worship-focused, not situation-focused. We're not called to worry about our situation. We're called to thank God and to call out to Him both in need and in blessing and in praise in our situation, as to worship Him. And the early church did that regardless of if things were going well or if they were being burned at the stake. They were worshiping God and much more focused on that than they were worried about their situation, whether they would live or die. And there are some ways, I'm sure, in our world today where we need to focus not on what's happening to us, but on the God that is going through it with us. And to join ourselves to Him and worship Him. And if we perish, we perish. But if we don't, we don't. And in either case, we praise God and bless Him. And if we focus on worship, that path will bring us much more movement along the trail that we need to be on. And then a third area I want to mention tonight is the old paths of the garden. First, there's the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 36 and 7 says, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane and saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, and the sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. The sons of thunder, these brothers, James and John, had called down, or they wanted to, call down fire on people for not behaving right earlier. And what's going to happen in a few hours, but Peter particularly, and all of them, all three of them, they're going to deny him and flee away from him. But in between, Jesus wanted them with him while he prayed to the Father. That brings tears to my eyes this evening, to know that we come from a place of failure. We may go to a place of fear. But between his rescuing us from the failure and even knowing that we might fail him again through fear, he wants to use us, not so he can use us as a slave kind of an idea, but so he can partner with us in his work. What is it about God that he would choose weakness to show his strength? I don't understand why this path was made. It seems like God would, I would choose those who have been with me in the past, those I can trust to be with me in the future. That's the ones I want to use, right? Not our God. He's wanting to connect with us in any way possible, and he's going to do everything he can to do that connection with us. And that means that despite knowing how we have failed him in the past and how we may fail him in the future, he can use us in the moment. Every person who has preached, who has sung, who has witnessed, who has done anything with and for God should be extremely grateful that he feels this way. Because if he didn't, we wouldn't be doing these things. Because we started good and then it went downhill. And without him, we can do nothing, right? Without him, I'd surely
fail.
One of the greatest songs of the Christian age in my book, by the way. I think that's just powerful. We have to have a hope, as Paul did in Philippians 1:6, when he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. And it's important to know, I say, those guys failed him in the future. Then there was another future, and they didn't fail him. And they went to the stake, and they were hung, and they were beaten, and they were killed for the cause of Jesus Christ. The story didn't end with the failure that came after the garden. But because God has chosen to be with us and to use us in the moments of our weakness and in between the moments of our weakness as well, then we can have a hope that he's working something in us for eternity that will be glorious and is glorious for his glory and for the cause of his kingdom. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:18 says, and I'm going to add a little bit here to fit my message. The old path of the justified is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day of completion, since his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the path that you created, that we can walk with you in it, in ministry together, that we are told about, or that we're shown as in the Garden of Gethsemane with Peter, James, and John. And then there's finally one other garden that I like to mention, and that's the one that I wanted to title this, The Cool of the Day. Genesis 3:8 says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The Garden of Eden. Now, when that verse is written, it talks about them being, realizing they were naked and they were afraid and all that. It was a kind of a bad time. But the phrase, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, implies very much that he did that all the time. That in the cool of the day, whichever part of the day that is, I've heard debate either way, but anyway. Depends on if you go to bed early or get up early. It's supposed to, or no, go to bed late or get up early. Anyway, but before choosing their own way, man walked with God open, close, and unafraid. And man left that path and has been finding his way back to it ever since. And in our lives, initially and often repeatedly, we need to return to the good old path where we can be with God open, close, and unafraid. We need to fear the Lord, yes, but we also need to be unafraid in his bosom, in his arms. Hanging out with Jesus is meant to be warmth to our spirit and strength to our life and rest to our souls. Getting to know him, getting to be with him and go with him is not only vital. We know it's vital. We know we can't live without him. But it is good. It is good. Psalm 63. I love this. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Oh, man, I got to have a drink. Sorry. Didn't have one yet, but I'd have known. To see thy power and thy glory, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee on my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. My soul followeth hard after thee. There's a path. God's on it. I'm following hard. That's what my grandpa David would have said. I'm following hard after God. My grandpa Henry would have said, I'm following hard after God. And I say, I want to follow hard after thy right hand upholdeth me. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing to have a walking relationship with others. If you're married, I'm not here to insult or condemn anyone, but if you are married and you can't take a walk with your wife or your husband, something's not, at least not ideal. Some people don't like to walk, so that's why I don't want to be too, accusatory. But if you like to walk with your spouse in the cool of the day or any other time. Actually, you need the cool of the day because the hands get sweaty, Yeah. But that is a wonderful thing. To walk with somebody through, in a job situation, and to walk through life with them is a good thing. I got a call from a guy I've worked with for 20-some years now, almost 20 years. He's not been around as long as I have. And they needed me to come help them over in Chalice next week. So as soon as we get home, and we live that way, Monday morning I'll come this way in another vehicle. And I was glad to help this guy out because he's a great guy. He's a good worker. He's done a lot to create a situation where I work has stayed there. And I really enjoy this young man. He's not here, so I'll tell you. 1 year, he did double duty. Long story, but I actually put him in for the National Employee of the Year, and he won. And he got money and a trip to D.C. out of it. And I was tickled that that happened because I've walked with this man in work, and it's great to have a walking relationship with some. Our families aren't that close. It's not like we hang out together, do anything. We don't believe the same things, but we work together, and he has character, and I hope I have character, and so walking together has been a great thing for us. Well, let me tell you, it is infinitely more enjoyable and beneficial to walk in a relationship with Almighty God in any time of the day, much less the cool. What an incredible advantage in our life. More than worrying about someone's eternal destiny, sometimes we need to just think about how neat it would be if those around us that don't know Him could just experience walking with Him day to day. We might be a little less, nasty about how we try to preach to Him, or we might be a little more passionate about expressing our love for our God if we come at it from the angle of, this is a God who just wants to walk with you starting today. He wants to do it eternally. He wants to start today. You can walk with Him, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing and an incredible pleasure in eternity to spend every single moment of eternity walking with God. The oldest of paths in Eden is the one of relationship, and it is the best path for us today. Why don't you sing with me a little bit here? And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. See, that's a whole lot of people walking in the garden in the cool of the day with their Lord. Each one of us by ourselves, and yet all together. There's a mystery of awesomeness that's in that. The old path is side by side, front to back, back to front. God is with us. He carries us sometimes, well, maybe all the time, but he lets us walk beside him. He teaches us. He talks to us. He encourages us. He goes through the valley of the shadow of death with us. We were talking on the way down about, man, why do bad things happen to good people? That's really the thing. We all know that. I'm not going to preach that sermon ever because I don't know the answer. But I know that the God I serve will walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death. And praise his name, may I fear no evil, for he is with me. That's a great path. We have great paths in our personal lives. Some of our paths are kind of messed up and ugly, difficult. Some are paths we want to put out of our mind, and that's okay. That's another message too, but some of the old paths need to be forgotten. But the moment that you have been with Christ and met him and began to follow his path, that old path is good, and that old path needs to be remembered. And as we look back on the history of our church, maybe locally and in churches you've been involved with, the body of Christ in general, we need to look back at the words of Christ and the words of the early prophets, the apostles, and get back to some of the core messages that they preached and lived and walk in those paths. And then we especially need to be open and close and unafraid to walk with our God in the garden when it's enjoyable, in the garden where it's difficult, but everywhere we go, always, always with him. The old paths are not a great mystery. The truth of God are not beyond our grasp. They aren't something that's intellectually beyond us. They're not something that's psychologically too deep for us or physiologically undoable. They're not behaviorally impossible even. But the old paths just have to be remembered and treasured and responded to, but not like the end of the theme verse in Jeremiah 6:16, which says, "But they said, we will not walk therein." Somebody needs to preach that message too. What's going to happen if we say we're not going to walk therein? I wasn't called here tonight to preach that message. I was got to do the other side. But we want to, instead, we need to remember. We need to meditate on what we need to treasure. And we need to respond to that gentle call of God in our life. It is his good pleasure that we do so. And I am very convinced that it will be our good pleasure as well. I don't know. I didn't even talk to anyone about how the service should end. And that's for someone else to do. I'm convinced, however, that there are people besides me who need to remember the old paths. And so I invite you in any way that God is calling upon your heart to do tonight, that you would respond to him. You can come and pray. You can speak to him in any way you need to. You can start tomorrow communing with him. But listen to what he's saying to you about the path you need to be walking in, the footsteps of his that you need to be following, and respond to that. And I encourage you to do so. Thank you.